We are continuing our series in Romans about how God makes us right with Him by grace through His Son, apart from the law. We receive it by faith. So I want to encourage you to turn your Bibles right now to Romans chapter 8. We're just some really good news right now. In Romans, as we've been going through Romans, we've had some bad news. We're going to hang out on some good news right now in Romans 8. So turn there if you haven't already. Let me ask for the Lord's help as we jump in and look at His Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and that it's true. And I pray that Your Spirit would work in us right now to help us to understand what You've said and help us to believe it and to live in the light of it. I pray that You would just help us. I pray that Your Spirit would work in us right now and that we would rely on Him. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Last week, as we looked at the end of chapter 7, Paul was holding up a mirror to our hearts. And, you know, some of what we saw in the mirror was a little bit ugly when we look at our hearts. I mean, one thing that he showed us is that we're saved apart from the law, which is great news. But the other thing is that he showed us is that we're still sinners. We still struggle with sin. Even after we come to faith in Christ, we're still sinners. We're still dealing with that. And does that resonate for you guys? I mean, is there anybody here that's still a sinner? Can I get a witness there? Is there anybody who's still struggling? Yeah, that's us. It wasn't hard to accept what he was saying because that's just the reality that we're still struggling, you know? And the question that comes up when we hear this or when we see ourselves, when we look in the mirror at our own hearts, we see, okay, we're saved not because of our performance, but because of what Jesus did for us, and we still struggle with sin, that could really beat us down. Like what Steve was talking about, are you optimistic about the future? Are you pessimistic? When we hear this message, we know that we're saved, but it could feel a little pessimistic because I'm still struggling with sin, and do I have any hope of improvement on this side of heaven, you know? Is there a way for me to live in a so that I please God now, you know, until before I, you know, pass through death and resurrection and I'm with God in heaven? Is there any hope there now? And as we'll see as I read in Romans chapter 8, the answer is yeah, there is hope. There is a new way. We have a new way to live now that we've come to faith in Jesus. And the factor that changes everything is the Holy Spirit of God, like we've been singing about. When the Holy Spirit comes in, that changes everything. It's a new realm of existence, a new paradigm, a new way to live, okay? The Holy Spirit comes in, okay? And maybe you hear me say that and you think, well, I've heard of the Holy Spirit. Sounds pretty neat. Sounds kind of cool that the Holy Spirit is there, but I don't know how He's going to make a difference for me, how the Holy Spirit is going to make a difference for me. I don't know how to tap into that power of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you asked. So this is what we're going to read about in Romans chapter 8. So let me read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, and then I'll talk about this new way of life infused by the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about three gifts from the Holy Spirit that help us in our struggle to live for God, in our struggle with sin, in our struggle with righteousness. Three gifts from the Holy Spirit that are going to help us. So let me read Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring life, will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. This is God's word. The first gift of the Holy Spirit that I want to talk about this morning is that he gives us a new freedom, a new freedom. This is good news. If you look in verse 1, it talks about how there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if you're in Christ, if you've trusted in him, if you've received forgiveness of sins simply by faith, by believing in God's provision for us, his gift to us in Christ, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again, then there's no condemnation for us. That means that we don't face the penalty for our sin. Another way to translate this could be, there's no death sentence, you know, for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't face eternal death. And this, just think of the weight that comes off of us knowing that we have eternal life that starts right now. There's no condemnation. God isn't looking at you saying, I'm mad at you, my wrath is upon you, I'm in a bad mood about you. God is looking at us and saying, no condemnation. No death sentence. And this is beautiful. It sets us free. When we don't face condemnation, we're set free. And so we talked about this last week a little bit, but there are two eras, two ages in history and in our lives, really. There's the old era when we're under the law, we're encumbered by our sinful flesh. When Paul says flesh, he means just our sinful nature and the way that we rebel against God, the way that we're slaves to sin. He talked about this in chapter 6. And so we don't please God, and we're under his wrath, and we face the penalty for our sin and all the effects of our sin. We face death. That's the old era, okay? And in the new era, we're set free. We're set free from the law and sin and death, okay? And how does this happen? He explains this in the end of verse 3, that God sent Jesus. He's condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son. This is good, right? The way that he set us free is he sent his son to us, okay? And he condemned sin in the flesh, and that means that in Jesus' flesh, in Jesus' body, sin was condemned. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin with his body on the cross when he died for us. And it says, as a sin offering, it says Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, he was a human in every way, just like we were. But what Paul is, when he says likeness, he's getting at this idea that Jesus didn't sin. Okay, so he takes on human flesh, human nature, and he's all in every way like us, except that he didn't sin. And then he gave his own life as a sin offering for us. Okay, and so now, verse 4, so now, believers in Christ can live in a way that pleases God. Let me read verse 4 again. In order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we can live, you and I can live, in a way that pleases God now, this side of heaven. This is good news. And it's not by trying to keep the law, the Mosaic law. It's not by depending on our own strength, by performing for God, but it's by being led by the Holy Spirit. So we're not operating in the sphere of the flesh anymore, in the sphere of the law, where we try to keep the law. We're operating in the sphere of the Spirit, okay? That's how we can live in a way that pleases God. And this is a fulfillment of what in the Old Testament calls, and in the New Testament too, what's called, the Bible calls, the New Covenant. Okay, it's a fulfillment of the promises of the New Covenant, you know, made hundreds of years before Jesus through the prophets to his people. It's fulfilled in us. And let me read a couple of these promises. This, let me read first. This is Ezekiel. When's the last time you read Ezekiel? You guys that are doing the year through the Bible got to it at some point, or will. Okay, so Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. This is a promise through the prophet Ezekiel. God is making this promise to his people. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. So here's this promise that God has taken this heart that we have, a heart that doesn't want to obey God, a heart that struggles to obey God, a heart filled with rebellion, that, and even when we try to obey him, we fail. And he replaces that, and it's a heart that says, oh, I have to do what's right. I don't really want to, but I have to, okay? And it replaces it with a new heart, and God puts his own spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, in us so that we want to obey him, we want to live for him, we want to please him, and his spirit gives us the power to obey him, okay? And then if you look in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, is another promise of the new covenant that God is making through the prophet Jeremiah to his people. This is what he says. Instead, this is my covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the Lord's declaration. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And Paul's going to pick up on this idea that we belong to him later in the passage. But this is a promise that God has made, that he's going to write his law on our hearts so that we want to obey him. And this is true for us who have believed in Jesus and received the Holy Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us and makes it so that we want to obey him, and we live that out. And the way that we live this out and please God, live in a way that pleases God, is not by trying to keep the Mosaic code, the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, that's not how we obey God, by doing, following all these gazillions of rules and regulations. It's something else. And Paul is going to talk about this later in Romans, but let me give you a preview of it. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, here's what Paul writes. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. And by the way, Paul is picking up on Jesus' teaching that the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, this fulfills the law and the prophets. If you love, then you're obeying God, you're pleasing God, whether or not you're thinking about all the rules and regulations. If you have a heart of love, okay, a heart that loves God and loves your neighbor. So let me read this again, 13:8, Romans 13:8. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandment are summed up by this commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. So if we are being led by God's Spirit to love our neighbors, then we're going to please God. We don't have to worry about all the rules, you know. We're going to be obeying the rules without even trying. If we have a heart that wants to please God, and it's a heart that's being transformed so that we love him and we love our neighbors. If we walk in love, if we live in love, if we're, and the way Jesus, like we read this passage too, you know, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, okay? Another place in the gospel, Jesus says, greater love is no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. So love is, it's sacrificial, giving up of your life for your neighbor. You know, wanting what's good for them and being willing to sacrifice for them, that's love. And if when we love each other, then we're pleasing God. So this is the new freedom that we have. It's freedom from the law. It's freedom from the flesh, meaning the human nature that's in rebellion against God. And it's freedom to operating in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And so there's this change that's taking place. Instead of trying to, in the old era, in the old life, trying to obey God or not trying, but you having the mindset that if I obey, then God will accept me, okay? And we fail at that. We fail at obeying, and we are worried that God won't accept us, okay? Then there's a shift now, and now we know that God has already accepted us because of what Jesus has done for us, and so now we're free from the law, free from the flesh. We're free to love him and to love others. And so, and God's Spirit is working in us so that we live in a way that pleases him. So that's the first thing, is that it's a new freedom. We have a new freedom. That's a gift of the Spirit. And I also want to show you that we have a new mindset. You probably picked up on this as I was reading in chapter 8. Over and over, Paul says, the mindset on the flesh is this way. The mindset on the Spirit is this way. There's a mindset, two mindsets, okay? Okay, so Paul's contrasting the mindset of the flesh and the mindset of the Spirit. When Paul says flesh and spirit, he's not like splitting people up into like the material self and the immaterial self. He's not talking about your body as opposed to your soul. He's talking about two spheres that we operate in. We can either operate in the sphere of the flesh, meaning our sinful nature, our rebellion against God, or we can operate in the sphere of the Spirit. And when he says Spirit, he means Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who works in us to change our hearts so that we want to please him and we want to love him and we want to love each other, okay? The old mindset, the mindset of the flesh, it's a way of living that's driven by our sinful human nature, which seeks its own interests in rebellion against God. The new mindset is a new way of thinking and living driven by the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 5, Paul writes that we live according to our new mindset. He says, we live according to our mindset. So let me read that verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the things of the Spirit. And what I'm trying to show you here is the word live and then the word mind. You live according to your mind, Paul is saying. The way that you think is going to be lived out in your actions. So if you have your mind set on the flesh kinds of things, meaning my desires, what I can get, the way that you need to give me what I want, you know, if you have your mind set on the things of the flesh, you're going to live that out. You're going to live according to the flesh. But if you have your mind set on the things of the Spirit, what does God want? And God wants good for people, right? And so that changes my heart so that I want good for you. And I need God to do that work in me, right? If I have my mind set on the things of the Spirit, then I'm going to live according to how my mind is set. And you guys know that, right? Like, the things that you think about, it doesn't that bleed out into the way that you live? I mean, you've had it happen that you're filling your mind with information that is crude, then your speech is crude, right? Or you fill your mind with lewd images, then the way that you see other people could be lewd. Or you fill your mind with anger and bitterness and you know, division and conflict. The way that you relate to other people is that way, you know? Or you fill your mind with all this bad news, then the way that you live out your life is full of anxiety, you know? Like, we know that the way that we think influences the way that we live, okay? We live according to our mindset, either the mindset on the flesh or the mindset on the Spirit, okay? Paul says the mindset of the flesh leads to death. Okay, he says is death, but when he says is death, it means it leads to death because the flesh is our human nature that's rebelling against God, and we reap the consequences of that, including death, spiritual death, but also physical death, and separation. If death the idea of death in the Bible is a separation, right? It leads to separation in our relationships, okay? It leads to the condemnation that we're now freed of, okay? But the mindset of the Spirit, he says, is life and peace. So we have new life. Our spirits are alive now to God. And we have the peace of God. We are reconciled to God, and we live in as ambassadors of reconciliation, meaning like we are bringing people together and bridging division, healing conflicts in our lives, okay? Okay, and then in verses 7 and 8, he talks about how the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. It can't submit to God's law. It can't please God. That's the mindset of the flesh, okay? In the book of Galatians, Paul also is talking in that book about flesh and spirit. And he talks about how when we walk by the flesh, it leads to certain kinds of actions. And when we walk by the spirit, it leads to other kinds of attitudes and actions. And let me just read to you from Galatians. This is Galatians chapter 5 in verse 19. 19 to 26, he's contrasting like the kind of life that comes out of living according to the flesh. You know, when you have the mindset of the flesh, this is what it leads to. If you have the mindset of the spirit, it leads to something different. So let me read it. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So you see the difference? There's the works of the flesh, and then there's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, he says fruit. How long does it take an apple to grow? Like, it's not like overnight, right? But the Spirit is working in us to grow fruit, to produce fruit in our life that's different than when we had our mindset on the things of the flesh. So we've been brought into this new era, but we still have to deal with the old era, okay? We're kind of in the overlap of the ages. We still are in the flesh. We still have bodies. We still have a sinful nature. We're still sinners that are dealing with the consequences of our sin. On the other hand, we have the Spirit of God, and we have eternal life that started now and will continue into the future. Okay? So we live in the overlap. We're freed from the penalty of sin, but we're still dealing with sin, you know? We're still dealing with some of the consequences of sin right now in the present. In the future, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be no more sin, sorrow, sadness, pain, suffering, death. It's all going to be over. But right now, we're still dealing with it, okay? And so we have an option. If you're a believer in Christ, you have an option of what you're going to set your mind on. You're a saint. You've been made holy, but you're still a sinner. Both those things are true of you. So are you going to set your mind on the things of the flesh, or are you going to set your mind on the things of the Spirit? There are two mindsets, and we've got to learn to operate in the mindset of the Spirit as opposed to the mindset of the flesh. And what we think about, setting our minds. We need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. What are you going to set your mind on today? Is it going to be the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit? Okay, so we've been given a new freedom. We've been given a new mindset. And the last thing I want to show you is that the Spirit gives us a new life-giving power that works in our lives, a new power, okay? If you look at verse 9, he says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And then he goes on, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him, okay? So believers in Jesus, Christians, have the Holy Spirit of God. This is true for you. If you've trusted in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You might not feel him, but he's there. The third person of the Trinity, you know, the God is Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit of God is living in you. He's there. And it says that we are in the Spirit, but it also says the Spirit is in us. It says we belong to Christ, but we have the Spirit of Christ in us. It's like we're in Him, He's in us. We're so connected to God now. And we don't even realize it, you know. The Holy Spirit is in us. In verse 10, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So we still have our bodies. We still are facing the effects of sin. We're still dying. But the Spirit of God has given new life to our spirit. So we're spiritually alive in the sense that we're justified. We've been made right with God. And in verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you. So in the future, when Jesus returns, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, will raise you from the dead, and you'll be alive forever and ever, okay? So the Holy Spirit has given eternal life to us. It starts right now as He's living in us, and it carries on. And even though our bodies will die, He will raise us from the dead. So this should give us some hope. This should give us some optimism, because the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power who raised Jesus from the dead, gives us life now. He's going to raise us up, and He's working in our lives, helping us in our struggle with sin. So when we face sin, when we face temptations to sin, and I bet it's going to happen before you come back for the supper tonight, you know, maybe before you leave the room today, you're going to face some temptations to sin in one way or another. I mean, I am, so I'm guessing you are too. Okay, what we need to remember when we face that is I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm plugged in. Or He's plugged into me or something. I don't know how to describe it. Like, I've got the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in my life so that I'm able to resist the temptation. I'm able to rely on Him. That's amazing, you know? Like, in the last chapter, like, Paul describes this struggle with sin, and he's struggling and he's failing. It's sort of a pessimistic chapter. But in that chapter, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit, right? In that chapter, Paul is talking about how when he relies on his own strength, he keeps struggling and failing. When we rely on the Holy Spirit, we struggle, but we have victory. We're overcomers. Because God's power is the most powerful force in the whole universe, and it's in you. And this is good news. So we want to rely on His power. And the way to rely on His power is, first of all, to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, to have the mindset of the Spirit, to think about these things, okay? He doesn't tell us in this chapter, set your mind on the things of the Spirit, but it's implied in there, right? And the idea of you've got two different mindsets, and the implication is, therefore, you better set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You better do it. We better do it if we want to live in a way that pleases God right now. And we can. And in Colossians, he does say, you know, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, the same writer. And so he's telling us right now, set your mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. Here's some things that you can set your mind on this week from this passage, things of the Spirit, ideas from the Spirit, realities that are true for us. Set your mind on the idea that there is no condemnation for you, that you're free from the penalty of sin, that you're reconnected to God, and that your life will go on forever after you die and you are raised again. That's something to set your mind on. That should really change our psychology, you know? Set your mind on love. So we have the law written on our hearts now. So now we can love our neighbors as ourselves. If we set our mind on the way that Jesus loved us and the way He gave His life for us, that ought to transform our hearts so that we can love each other well, better than we're doing now, you know? If I can just appreciate better. My problem in loving you is that I haven't appreciated well enough just how much God loves me. If I can appreciate the way that He loved me, that should melt my heart and transform my heart so I can love you better. Okay? We need to set our minds on the love of Christ. We can set our minds on the truth that we have the Holy Spirit of God, that He lives in us, that we're connected, that He's given us His Spirit who lives in us and we are in Him. We can set our minds on life, you know? The Spirit of God is a life-giving Spirit. And He's made us alive, spiritually alive to God. We have eternal life that will continue into the future. And so now we can speak life to other people to build up, not tear down, to encourage them in the truth that we have eternal life. Okay, we can set our minds on peace. It said the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, or the Spirit is life and peace. The flesh is death. The Spirit is life and peace. So we have peace with God. We have peace with each other in the body of Christ. These are the kinds of things we can set our mind on. We can set our mind on hope that we've got a good future ahead of us. So set your mind on the things of the Spirit today. And you can walk in the realm of the Spirit, and His power will work in you so that you live in a way that pleases Him. Let's pray for each other that we'll be able to walk in the Spirit this week. Let me pray. Dear God, we thank You for this good news. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit is in us. And I pray that we could set our mind on the things of the Spirit. I ask for help in that right now. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing the next song together.